I must confess to you something. I don't have anything for you today. And the truth is, you don't want what I have to offer anyway. However, I brought something with me that I do want to offer to you. That's the Word of God. Doesn't get any better than that. Gets no better than that. Would you pray with me before we begin? Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are. Father, we praise you. We honor you this morning here in this place. Father, I pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to receive a word from you, Father. You are so awesome that you can speak a word to me and speak a different word to someone else through the same passage of Scripture. I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. But I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that you still speak to us today. Father, help us to desire to hear from you this morning. Not just to hear it, but then to take it and apply it to our lives so that we'd be changed. We'd be different. We'd be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. First book of the New Testament. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. And again, let me let you be aware that if you don't have a copy of God's Word, I would love nothing more than to put one in your hand. I've got some just for that occasion. So if you don't have one, if you'll see me right after the service, I'd love nothing more than to put a copy of God's Words in your hand. That way you could take it. You could read it at home. Read it when you go on a trip. Just take it with you and have it available to you at any time. Free of charge. That's just because I believe that one of the greatest things we can do is put the Word of God in people's hands. So if that applies to you, you just let me know, and I'd love to do that for you. This passage of Scripture, the first 16 verses of the book of the 20th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to read all these. It's kind of lengthy. But it tells a story. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to kind of talk about the story. So follow along if you have your Bible open. Matthew 20, beginning in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others waiting or standing around. He asked him, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You go also and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only an hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do with what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The story. As I, many of you know, I'm doing some classes right now. And one of these classes, I call it my Herman class, my hermeneutics class, biblical interpretation. And it's teaching me to dive deeper, to study a passage more closely than I've ever studied before. I've read this parable. How many of you, this is a very familiar story to you? You've read this parable. Me too. And when I read it this time, really stopping to really take notice and really to kind of digest what the story is about rather than just reading the story, but to really dig deep and listen to what God has to say, he began to show me some things. Now, this parable is plainly, it's Jesus states plainly that the theme of this parable is the kingdom of heaven, which if you were a Jew in that time, you knew when someone referred to the kingdom of heaven, they were talking about the hope of salvation. Okay? Most owners during that time, if you owned a good piece of property, most owners did not have enough household servants or regular workers to do those jobs because they didn't need them all the time. It was kind of seasonal. And so they would go out and they would hire these temporary day laborers. They would even go from town to town, these laborers. They would go from town to town to find work from the nearby villages. These laborers were usually unskilled at any trade, and they were near the bottom of the social ladder. And they would gather in the marketplace before dawn to be available for hiring. And this is where the landowner found these particular men. The Bible says, early in the morning. Because they were unskilled and desperate for work, and therefore they were vulnerable. They were often underpaid and taken advantage of. But because of his great compassion for the poor and downtrodden, God commanded his people a command. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, it says this, "Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight." God gave them a law way back, and he said, look, if you hire somebody, pay them. If you hire somebody today, pay him at the end of the day, because that guy, he's got needs, and he needs to be able to meet those needs, and if you withhold that overnight, he may not be able to feed his family tomorrow. So God made a rule, a law back in Leviticus, and he said, if you hire somebody, pay him, and pay him at the end of the day. Right? After this landowner found him in the market, the landowner, he agreed with the workers. This is interesting and very, we need to get this. He agreed with the workers for the pay. They said, I'm going to pay you a denarius for the day. A denarius it was decent pay. It was actually about the pay that a Roman soldier received for a day's wages. So it was good pay. As a matter of fact, it was probably better pay than these guys had been able to find anywhere else. The Jewish workday began at 6 a.m., and this was called the first hour. So when the Bible says, and he went out in early in the morning, and then he went out in the third and the sixth, the first hour is about 6 o'clock. Okay, that's the start of the workday. They call that the first hour. So at the first hour, he went out about 6 a.m., some of y'all are saying, whew, I'm not even up at 6 a.m., right? And some of you are saying, I've been up for 2 or 3 hours by 6 a.m. Well, this guy, he went out at 6 a.m. to find workers. He went back about the third hour, which would be about 9 a.m. He went back and found others standing, still looking for work. Now, these guys, they may have been latecomers. They may have been the crew that was coming from the next town, the next village. They had to leave their village at midnight to get here, and they missed it. They ran into a snag. They had a blowout on their donkey or whatever. I don't know. But for whatever reason, there were some people that were there at 9 o'clock that weren't there at 6 o'clock. And so he says, hey, would you like to have an opportunity to work? If you do, I'll pay you what's right. And so they went. He came back at noon and found more people again, offered them work. He didn't offer a particular wage at that time. He just told him, you go work in my vineyard and I'll pay you what's right. 3 o'clock, he went back. Found more workers. Now, do you think this guy was just such a bad organizer, he didn't really realize how many workers he was going to need? You think he took some workers with, that ought to do, then went, no, it's not going to be enough. Went back. I need some more. You come. Oh, underestimated again. You think the worker did the landowner did that, or do you think he may have hired everybody that was available? I think he was there and offered work to whoever wanted to come work. Think about that, because we're going to develop that in just a few moments. At the very end of the day, however, called the 11th hour. Now, the work day was 12 hours. Some of you are thinking, that's a long work day. 8 hours is enough for me, but you know what? 12 hours, 15 hours was common. Now, he went back out at the 11th hour, which would have been about 5 o'clock. How many of you would be still looking for work at 5 o'clock? There were people still looking for work at 5 o'clock. He went back and said, why are you still standing here? They said, well, nobody hired us. Nobody came and offered us work. He said, well, go work in my vineyard. I'm going to pay you. At the end of the day, the landowner said, all right, foreman, bring the workers up. It's time to pay, because we're going to do what the law said. We're going to pay them at the end of the day. So bring them up. Foreman, bring them up. We're going to pay them. Start with the ones I hired last, and then we'll go on to the ones we hired first. This is a parable that Jesus is telling. And so they come, and the guys that hired, you understand that this is 6 o'clock. He hired some guys at 5 o'clock, so they've been working for about an hour, and they come up to get paid. What are your expectations if you're that guy, and you're coming up to get paid? You know, you've only worked an hour, probably even less if there was travel time involved, right? What are your expectations? Maybe take a denarii, divide it by however many hours are in a day, and that's probably, I mean, I know if somebody comes and says, look, I need you to come work for me for an hour, I'm going to pay you. I'm expecting, okay, well, $8, $10, whatever. I mean, that's kind of what I would expect. And that's probably what they expected too, but the guy said, the foreman paid them a denarius, a full day's wages for an hour. And they were going like, how about them apples? Now, there were other people watching this. You know who was watching? The people that were hired at 3 o'clock, and the people that were hired at noon, and the people that were hired at 9 a.m., and don't you know the people that were hired at 6 a.m. were paying particular attention? They came up. Everybody came up. The guys at 3 o'clock, they got their denarius. The guys at noon, they got their denarius. The guys that were hired at 9 a.m., they got their denarius. And the guys that were there at 6 a.m., they've got to be thinking, whew, if he's so generous with those people who didn't work all day, what's he going to do for me? I can't wait. I'm excited. I can't wait. He went up in smoke. Because you know what they received? A denarius. They griped at the owner, saying, these men who were hired last worked only an hour. They said, you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work and in the heat of the day. Their reaction might have been quite normal. Basically, they were saying, that's not fair. Who do you think you are? I've been out here all day long in the heat, the sweat. I'm tired. I worked all day long. This yahoo comes along, you hire him the last hour of the day, and you pay him the same thing? That's not fair. Has anybody ever thought that life wasn't fair? Life is not fair. Nobody knew it more than the guys that were hired at 6 a.m. on this day. The owner responded to him. He said, now hold on a minute. If it would have been Cy, he'd have said, hey, look here, Jack. Some of you get that. And if you don't, you need to see Vicki Kelly. She'll explain it to you. He said, now hold on a minute. What was our agreement at the first of the day? I agreed to hire you. You agreed to work. And I told you that I would pay you a denarius. Isn't that what we agreed upon? What is different than what happened here? You did your part. I did my part. What's the problem? He said, if I want to give so-and-so the same as I gave you, what's that to do with you? You got what you agreed upon, which, remember, was pretty good. It was better than what they would have gotten elsewhere. He said, are you just envious because of my generosity? The problem, you see, was not injustice on the part of the landowner and the foreman, but jealousy on the part of the workers. Jealousy and envy are always based on selfishness. I don't believe there is a sin. What is a sin? A sin is something that is, what is a sin? Come on, somebody. Contrary to God's word. Something that displeases God. Something that God says, that's not right. Don't do that. That's not okay. That's a sin. Something that displeases God. Something that we know is not right. Sometimes, even if we don't know it's not right and it's wrong, we do it, it's still a sin. Did you know that? Just try it with an officer if you get pulled over. Sir, I didn't know. And he's going to say, what? Ignorance is no excuse for the law. Guess what? That's what God says too. He said, well, whether you knew or not, you should have. And here's the deal. Because you messed up, you die. Capital punishment for every offense. You may be sitting out there thinking, what? I thought God was a God of love. Well, he is. He is. God has lots of attributes. I'm glad he's love. But I need not forget he's also jealous. I need not forget he's also just. I need not forget he also has wrath. Now, this charge of unfairness was not grounded in a love for justice. You see, these workers, they weren't saying, wait a minute, we want justice so much that you need to be fair and equitable across the board. They didn't want fair and equity. They wanted something more. They weren't interested in justice. They were interested in themselves. They wanted the extra pay that they felt that they deserved, right? But you see, selfishness, it sees what it wants to see. And all those jealous men, all they could see was that they did not receive the bonus that they expected and they thought they deserved. It was not that they didn't get the agreed upon wages, but that they could not stand to see someone else who was hired at the last minute get paid the same as they did. Instead of being glad for their co-workers and for their good fortune, they envied them and they were bitter. Bitter. That word bitter kind of puts a bitter taste in my mouth when I say it, bitter. Have you ever been bitter? I've been bitter. I've been bitter. I got better. My wife says, amen. You remember that time, don't you? That one time I was bitter? Don't feel the need to talk to her about that after the sermon, by the way. These guys, they still got paid more than they were worth, but they let selfishness steal their joy. Should they not have been glad they had opportunity to work and get paid good wages? Yeah, they lost sight of that. They got confused. They got their focus off of themselves. They started looking over here at somebody else. Guess what happens to us, folks? When we start looking at somebody else, making comparisons and saying, wait a minute, we stop looking at what we've got and what God is doing in our lives, and we're more focused over here. Guess what? God is like, hey, I'm trying to show you some stuff here. Pay attention. Wake up. You're focused on the wrong thing. What I'm doing with you is what I want to do with you. I'll do with them what I want to do with them, but you need to focus on you. Matthew 10:20 says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Jesus is telling his disciples, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There's something to be glad about, he says. Now, you can be glad about all this stuff. You can be glad that you're able to cast demons out, he's telling me. He said, you be glad that you're able to do these things. Be glad about this stuff, sure. But don't put more stock in that than the simple fact that your name is written in the book of life. There's something to be thankful for. Jesus very clearly said this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. When we look at the particulars of this parable, let's break it down. It said this parable is about the kingdom of heaven. So the vineyard, okay, stay with me because this is good stuff. The vineyard is the kingdom, okay? He brought people to come to the kingdom. The landowner is God the Father. Guess who the foreman is? Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ is the foreman. The laborers, guess who the laborers are? That's right. You and me, we're the laborers. The pay? Oh, this is good stuff. The pay is eternal life. And guess what? Those who come in the 11th hour get paid the same as those who come in the first hour of the day. It's eternal life. That's good pay, y'all. Better than you're worth. Better than I'm worth. The work day is the believer's lifetime. Their service in the evening is all of eternity. When I began to look at this story in respect to those that kind of break it out like that and look at it, it shed a new light in my mind and in my spirit about what God is trying to tell me through this passage. God's sovereign principle. You know what sovereign is? We've talked about that a little bit in the past. Sovereign means God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and who he wants to do it with. And guess what? He owes an explanation to nobody. That's what sovereign is. And my God is sovereign. You don't have to explain anything to me. You don't have to explain anything to you. But he does. He does, and he does it right here, y'all. He does it through his word. I got fired up and lost my place. God's sovereign principle for salvation is that every person who comes to faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, receives the same gracious salvation prepared by the Father and given by the Son. You see, when a person comes to Christ as a small child and lives a long life of obedient service to him, or whether he comes on his deathbed, the pay's the same. All come to the kingdom on the same basis and receive the same eternal gift. Y'all remember the thief on the cross? And very close to his dying breath, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Talk about an 11th hour worker, right? Matter of fact, that guy didn't even have a chance to go to work. Oh, but did he? His story is still being told. He is still testifying to this day of the grace of God. He's still testifying to this day that God is a good God. And he loves and he saves. You know what kind of his salvation was like? You had the salvation of the apostles, right? The salvation that they deserved and earned. You don't deserve it and earn it. Even the apostles didn't. Okay? They received a salvation, y'all. And they were workers. They were steadfast. They were daily. They were persecuted. They gave their lives, every one of them except John. And it wasn't for lack of trying in his case. They gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This guy on the cross, this thief on the cross, guess what? He received the same salvation that the apostles received. Now tell me that's not a good God. Do you think the apostles are upset? Do you think they're saying, well, hold on, wait a minute. I deserve more. My friend, let me tell you, if you think you deserve more, you don't want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I know what I deserve. I don't want to have any part of it. I thank God that he said, you don't have to have what you deserve. Let me just bless you a little bit with what I got. He said, let me take care of you. Let me give you something that is above and beyond what you deserve, because you can't handle what you deserve. Here's something else I want you to take note of. Had that thief said this, had that thief said, you know what? Jesus, I think you are the Lord. I think you are the Christ. And tomorrow, I'm going to put my trust in that. You see, we all have a work day. We have a work day. And we're not guaranteed to see the end of our, we'll see the end of our work day, right, when we lay our stuff down and we're done. But my work day is different than your work day. I may be an 11th hour worker, y'all. You may be a first hour. You may have gotten hired at 6 a.m. And here I come trucking along at 5 o'clock. And I only may have to work an hour. My work day may be shorter than yours. It may be longer. But I don't know when it's over. Am I talking straight? Let me tell you this. You don't know when your life is going to end. Let me put it plain. You don't know if you leave this place today. You don't know what's going to happen on these wet streets. Lord forbid we all make it home safe. But we're not guaranteed that. We're not guaranteed to wake up in the morning. And if you wait until after that time, guess what? You're too late. You missed the opportunity. You missed the work. You didn't work. You don't get the pay. Oh, get paid, folks. Get paid. There's work. There's good work. If you're upset because you think you're not getting what you deserve, you don't want what you deserve. Because no person is worthy of salvation, eternal life is the gift of grace that only Jesus Christ can give. Before receiving Christ, everyone is equally lost. Did you know that? Doesn't matter how much sin you've got, because God said it's all punishable by death. So it doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. Every sinner is in the same boat. We're all equal in our guiltiness. But there's a good part. Because when Jesus comes, we can all be equally saved. We can all be equally saved. Talk about equality. I like God's method of equality. The Christian who is envious of other Christians for whatever reason, and if I'm stepping on your toes, take your shoes off and put them out there to get them good and stomped on hard. Get it over with and get it done, okay? Because here's the deal. If you're a Christian and you're envious of other Christians for whatever reason, not only is it unspiritual, but it's foolish. If you're jealous of somebody else, come on now. Don't be that first hour worker. Jealous because somebody else, they're not having to do all this stuff. Here I am doing all this. Guess what? You're still going to get paid more than you're worth. You're still going to get paid more than you're worth. Jesus wanted his disciples, and he wanted you and me to see that salvation is not in any way earned, or is it deserved. It's a free gift from God, given impartially to whoever believes in Jesus Christ, his Son. There is only one way. The Bible makes it clear that that way is through Jesus Christ. It's not that every believer receives an equal part, but that every believer receives the whole of God's blessing. See, God doesn't divide himself up. He said, okay, Brother Warren, you get a little piece of me. Rebecca, you get a little piece of me. Brother Jimmy, you need a little more than the average bear there. You know, Mr. Nix, you get a healthy dosing of yours too. Come back for seconds when you need it. He didn't say that. God says, look, When you come to me, you don't get a part of me, you get all of me. And how he can give all of himself to me, and all of himself to you, and all of himself to the person sitting next to you, and all of himself to the person sitting across the room from you, and all of himself to the person sitting in the other town and across the world. I don't know how he does it, but he does. I get all that God has to offer of me. And it's good. It's good. Everyone who belongs to God has the same salvation. Now, we critique and we compare other people. We do that out of selfishness. We look at them, we compare ourselves, and we say, you know what? I deserve this. I need this. They don't get that. They are looking, well, look at that. That's not right. We do that out of selfishness when we should be looking at ourselves, recognizing who we are and what we've been given, so that we can have compassion on other people. So we can look at other people and say, you are blessed. Thank God you're blessed. I'm just as blessed too, because I get the same pay you did. Woo! It's good pay. Better pay than we can get anywhere else. Remember that. If you're right, if you take notes, anybody taking notes today? Maybe you're not. If you are, you're probably lost. If you haven't been, or if you're taking notes, write these things down. There's 10 things I want to give you right quick. It's a 10-point sermon right here. I'm almost finished with point number one. Hope y'all brought lunch. Now, this is going to go pretty quick here. Well, number one, things that I learned from this parable. Number one, God initiates and he completes and accomplishes salvation. God does it because he wants to. He does it because he initiates it. Did the workers come to the vineyard looking for work? Guess what? God comes to where you are looking for you, and he asks, do you want to work? Are you willing? Here's another thing I learned. God establishes the terms. He said, I'm going to pay you a denarius. He went to the morning to those guys the first hour. I'm going to pay you. If you'll work, I'm going to pay you a denarius. Now, he didn't tell the rest of the workers what they were going to pay him. But it was his business. And he established the terms. He even told the guys, he said, it's my money. I'll do with it what I want to. He said, it's my salvation. I'll give it if I want to. None of your business. Take what you got. Be glad for it. But be glad for so-and-so, the 11th hour worker too. Goodness gracious. Number three, God continues to call men into his kingdom. He didn't stop at 6 o'clock in the morning. He went back. He said, is there anybody else? He went back again. Is there anybody else? Went back again. He went back at the very last hour of the day. He said, last call, last chance. Is there anybody else? Guess what? If you've been there all day long and you've been kicking back, you just didn't want to work, you could still say, you know what? Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. You know what amen means? So be it. That's me. Number four, God redeems all who are willing. If they wanted to work, if they stood up and said, I'm looking for work, you know what God told them? You know what the vineyard owner told them? He said, come on, go work in my vineyard. I'm going to take care of you. Number five, God is compassionate to those who have no resources and acknowledge their inability to provide their ultimate need. Remember, these guys, they just kind of moved from town to town. I remember when we lived over in Tomball before we moved here. There was a spot, and most towns have a spot, but I know this particular spot, it was a day labor site. You could go there if you needed some workers. You could go there, drive your pickup, or your car if you wanted to, but I took my truck. I'd stop there, and they would come and rush the car. How many? They didn't care what it was. They didn't know if they were going to be laying carpet, laying tile, digging a ditch, you know, watering the grass, going on a ski trip. They didn't know what they were doing. They wanted to work. All who came had a chance to work. That's the sixth one. all who came to the vineyard worked. Even the thief on the cross. Remember, he's still working today, isn't he? When we read about him, he's still telling the story today. Number seven, God has divine authority and ability to keep his promises. You can look across the room. You can look at me right here. And let me tell you something. I am going to let you down. Look at me. You need to know that. I'm going to let you down. I'm not intending to. But there's God, surely, and some of you are thinking, well, preach on, preacher. You've been letting me down time and time again already. What are you talking about? Gonna. People fail one another. Your spouse lets you down. Your children let you down. Your parents let you down. Your boss lets you down. Your workers let you down. We let each other down, but God never fails. He will not let you down. He has the ability to keep his promise. Number eight, just as God always gives what he promised, he always gives more than what's deserved. He always gives more than what is deserved. If you'll be honest and write down and answer what you deserve for what you've done, come on. If you're honest, can any of you really say, yeah, I deserve some really good stuff. I deserve to go to heaven. I've worked my way in, and I can't wait to get there because I earned some good stuff. I know better because the Bible tells me I haven't. The Bible says you can't earn it. It's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. Remember we talked about receiving? If we'll receive, then we can achieve. Always more than we deserve. Number nine, and if you can count the ten, you know we're getting close. Humility and a genuine sense of unworthiness is the only right attitude in which a person may come to the Lord. Humility. That's when we recognize, I have no other way. Lord, I know that I can't earn it. And even if I could, it's an impossible feat. I can't do it. I can't earn it. I know I can't do it by myself. I need you. That's where the humility comes in. That's when God steps in and says, now, you recognize that you can't. You recognize that I can, and you know where to come to the one who can. That's the only attitude that's acceptable. That proud, selfish attitude, like, well, I'm indignant because they're working not as much as I've worked, and I've worked all my life. That's not the right attitude. That's selfishness. That's pridefulness. God says, be humble. Accept that the fact that you're all in the same boat, I'm going to let you be saved for all of eternity if you trust in me. Number 10, God's grace is sovereign. The men's work had absolutely no relationship to what they were paid. Even the ones that worked all day, remember, they got paid more than they were worth. Now, just showing up at the launch site isn't enough to get you paid. That place I was talking about in Tomball, when I pulled up and those people, they rushed the truck to get hired for the day. If they sit back there on the picnic table, guess what they're not going to get hired. They're not going to get paid. So just showing up to the site is not going to get you paid. Just showing up at church isn't going to get you saved either. You must commit. You must commit. The workers that said yes, and they moved their feet, and they went, they're the ones that got paid. You may be like the guy who worked all day and is upset that others are not working as hard, but they're still getting the reward. Maybe you're here and you're dealing with that. Maybe the Lord's telling you, you need to work on that, your attitude. Maybe God's telling you, you know what? You need to recognize that you're all in the same boat. You need to recognize that none of you are doing good enough. You can't do good enough. Let me suggest that if you have time to grumble against someone else, then that's time you can put to good use. If you have already committed, like we talked about a minute ago, maybe it's time for you to recommit. Maybe it's time for you to get engaged back in the work project. Maybe it's time for you to say, you know what? I bailed. I decided not to work, but I'm realizing that I have an opportunity here. God is already paying me. I need to work. I need to get involved. I need to step up. I need to be what He's called me to be. We're going to talk about a calling in the next few weeks, really what a calling on our life is. Maybe you're like the 11th hour worker. Do you realize that you've received a great reward? Realize that your salvation is just as good as anyone else's. It's the very best. You must never lose your sense of indebtedness. Don't let anyone steal your joy. This passage that we've read today, studied, has spoken to me. It's checked my attitude in some areas. I'm guilty of thinking like a first-hour worker in some cases. I need to recognize and humble myself and say, Lord, woe is me. I'm unclean. Cleanse me. Make me new. Make me fresh. Help me to recommit myself to you. Maybe you're the same way. Maybe you're guilty also. Let me encourage you. And if you've been at the day worker site and you've been showing up every day going, wow, look at all those people getting work. I'm really not that interested. I just want to sit here and watch them. Let me encourage you. There's going to come a day when there's no more work. Don't get caught without pay. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And I tell you, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Today's the day. Today's the day. If that's you, oh, my friend, let me encourage you to jump on that opportunity. Maybe you've been grumbling. Let me encourage you to check your attitude. Check your attitude like this guy in the parable. And finally, if you're that 11th hour worker, oh, rejoice. Rejoice. Be glad that God still looks for workers, that He still comes and makes an opportunity for you. And you can come and get the same pay that every other worker has received. You can do that today. You can be saved for now and for all of eternity. Right here in this place. I'll be standing here in the front. Our prayer benches are open, as they always are. Did you know they're open during the week too? You come. Mark's going to lead us in a song. You come. You respond as the Lord calls you. Not because I'm calling you. I can't save you. I can't convince you you need saved. But if you'll open your heart and your mind to Jesus Christ, He will. And if He's doing that, respond to Him. Respond to Him. Get off your feet. Go to the vineyard. It's a good place. There's good pay. They even give you water breaks. Stand to your feet. You respond as the Lord leads you.